International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Our program will be a little different. Dr. Wyatt will speak on an often overlooked subject, marriage, as God meant it to be.
Thank you, Dennis. This is an often misunderstood topic. Sharon reads from the 19th chapter, and yes, this is what God would desire.
He left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And crowds gathered to him again and again. As his custom was, he taught them. And Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to put her away." But Jesus said to them, "For your hardness of heart he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery."
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. What my wife has read is a sentiment. Some would call it an ideal from another age. With what passes for marriage in our present culture, and as it is perceived by that same culture, what Jesus says here would seem to be most improbable, or if one is being kind, quaint. But that is exactly how Jesus' disciples saw his teaching on marriage. Marriage was and remains a big subject, controversial, problematic, and often difficult, and it only gets more so as time has passed. We of faith who continue to hold to what our Lord relates here are seen as obstacles, a hindrance to what is now perceived as the healthy, unavoidable permissiveness of life. We are seen as prudish and hung up in a puritanical past. This at a time in which solid, healthy marriages with the fruit of families should be of utmost importance to the well-being of our culture. The breakup, the destruction of marriage breeds poverty, hopelessness, and despair. Look at any study on poverty, crime, depression, substance abuse, and at its core, you will find either divorce, out-of-wedlock birth, or unstable families, or all of the above. Yet our society makes jokes, condones all the misbehavior or poor decision-making that destroys what is crucial to the health of our society. You've heard it. Meet my ball and chain. Take my wife, please. And bigamy is having one husband too many. Monogamy is also having one husband too many. There are a lot more silliness like that, but you get the point. We excuse, wink at, make fun of what instead all should be encouraging, undergirding, and supporting. This whole idea of marriage is certainly not new. In various forms, the idea of marriage is older than even oral tradition. And as far back as one wishes to go, there are rituals for exchanging vows between a man and a woman. Early marriages were, of course, arranged, but love was certainly present. Abram loved Sarah. Isaac loved Rebekah, and Jacob loved Rachel. As then, it has always been the communities that solemnized a marriage. Religion, actually Christianity, came to organize and sanctify marriage rather late, and did so because of the richness of meaning that Jesus will add to these vows, and the high pinnacle upon which he places the whole idea of marriage. That it is God's purpose, and its dissolving destruction is because of our hardness of heart. And because of this hardness, a partner, a union, became twisted, and a wife became the property of her husband, subject to his whims. And this is reflected in the background of our text here in Mark's Gospel. As Jesus moves closer to Jerusalem, in an area just east of the Jordan River, again the Pharisees confront him. Their question is not so much hostile as it is a test, a word snare in which there is no real good answer, as they see it, only one that will make one group unhappy. But Jesus, unlike modern politicians or even many ministers, is brutally frank, with no attempt to spin the truth or avoid making someone upset. They have asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And Jesus will take us much deeper. At this time in Judaism, there were two major schools of interpretation concerning divorce. One, that of Shammai, held that a bill of divorcement should only be written because of unchastity, whereas Hillel accepted divorce for any unfavorableness, burning dinner, or as is said in the tractates, if you found a woman more fair. Of course, always the more lax interpretation was far more popular, as it is today. The question is meant to offend, even enrage someone. Either one is too lax or too restrictive, or perhaps he will oppose all divorce, thus opening Jesus to the same fate as John the Baptist, who verbally denounced the divorce and remarriage of Herod Antipas to his brother's wife. And of course, it ended with his death. However, in wonderful rabbinical style, Jesus will ask a counter question, a simple one. What did Moses command? Jesus would have them clarify what they have to say about Moses. They respond correctly, saying, God permitted man or allowed man to write a bill of divorcement. Moses allowed divorce. It was never a commandment. Jesus, however, had asked them, what did Moses command? So naturally, the Pharisees will reflect back to the biblical text that speaks of divorce. But now Jesus will widen the context from which Moses had written the law, a context which can be better understood as a contract. Jesus will now lift marriage beyond such a mere contract, but to a relationship with more than mere legal, biological, or community status, but a divine state as a true spiritual reality. The mistake the Pharisees and others make is that God's intent in marriage was such that he would ideally never speak of dissolving what he originally desired. The Mosaic allowance for ending a marriage is actually an indictment of our human situation. It became an unfortunate necessary action to protect individuals, particularly women. If this was left unregulated, it would have destroyed the fledgling nation of Israel, as it would any society. Such regulations and allowances, it is always hoped, will be superseded by a spiritual revival that would put love and commitment above carnal desires. Divorce, as accepted and protected by most first century Jews and all societies, only testifies to the hardness of heart of people. Yet the Mosaic allowance for writing such a bill of divorcements was never what God's true intent was in marriage from the beginning. Only those uninterested in the meaning of marriage would uphold Moses' allowance and never contemplate the words in Genesis that in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Jesus, however, will bind this idea of humanity's creation in the image of God with the ideal of marriage, and thus this supersedes the meager understanding of the Pharisees. This elevates our perception, the very nature of marriage, far beyond the grubby and sordid details on how a marriage is to be destroyed. Instead, in marriage, we are lifted to see in the divine ideal an inkling, a sense of what our relationship with God is to be like. Karl Barth, one of the great names in Christian theology, provides some insight here. His reading of this passage sees that God has purposed that mankind can share in the very nature of God's glory, that we are created as the very earthly image of the Godhead, as the very eye, as he puts it, of the whole body of creation. As such, we make a mistake if we see this image of God as just a man. Scripture puts it this way: in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them. It is the two, male and female, that are to God as one before him. It is the couple, the merging, and all that that means. The male and female, this is the divine image, and we are in grave danger of losing what this signifies. Marriage, this union, is filled by God with himself, and only from this place can we understand and appreciate how God values this mystic union. God's image, you see, is not solitary. The divine image existed in a relationship, a plurality, just as man's existence is two becoming one. The woman, you see, is not arbitrary or accidental. God created both, and thereby the highest of human relationship becomes the union of two. This is what Jesus would lift us to. Contrary to human attempts to devalue women, this was not God's intent. From the beginning, there were the two for the purpose of family. It is for this reason that one will leave father and mother and join with, be yoked together. It is meant as a lasting relationship. Anything else is rebellion. It is meant to be a lasting union, as is ours with Christ. Nothing has changed. The exceptions for unchastity found in Matthew's gospel and the necessary pastoral concerns noted by Paul to the Corinthians are not dealt with here. Here our Lord presents the basic, the ideal, and as such, it is not always necessary to touch on mankind's failures and weaknesses. The ideal still applies. Matthew records the obvious. Adultery disrupts marriage, literally destroys the union. The two become no longer one. But even this can be mended, as the history of Israel so elegantly reveals, as God so repeatedly restored her after her unfaithfulness. Such exceptions to the divine purpose in marriage speaks to our iniquity, our hardness of heart. We could speak here of the passive Greek tenses used that should be translated as to make only the party who insists on divorce as guilty of adultery, that in fact the innocent party is not bound guilty, but in truth free. Jesus will place the blame rightly only on those that would disrupt, destroy a marriage. Nowhere is the innocent condemned or prevented from reconstructing what God does intend. Clearly, Jesus is not interested in introducing more legalistic complication, what only makes for new Phariseeism. But neither does Jesus ignore the reality. Divorce is a symbol of our sin and the opposite of God's true intent in marriage. Yet marriage is more than an ideal for a man and a woman in how they relate to each other. The Lord is saying far more about our human relationships, about our relationship to him, and about his church. It is this unique relationship that explains why God's stamp of permanency is placed upon marriage, on this union, for it reflects the union of the Godhead. His love for us, his desire for us, is described as much as it can be by this ideal of marriage. Its permanency, its covenant for all time. That is why it is so abhorrent and repugnant, the way we now as a society treat this union. It is no longer a permanent vow, but a casual connect, a too often temporary and passing convenience, based on physical attraction, or at best what seems good for the moment. This holy union is too often portrayed as a joke, and we treat adultery as harmless fun when it causes great pain, driving wounded parties to depression, even rash acts. This casual approach to such an important union betrays our body, soul, and spirit, and unfortunately, the church is seldom now seen as a source for answers. Indeed, the church is looked upon more as the enemy of all the fun, when in fact Christianity is far from desiring to ruin the fun, but would provide the guidelines, the protection, which enables intimacy and love to rise to a level of true freedom and joy, without the pain, cruelty, rage, and disease. Christianity is not about new legalism, for Jesus treats those who falter always with compassion. His harshest words are always for the sins of hypocrisy, pride, and legalism. Truth is, when we resist the siren's call of this world and pour our energies into our relationships, the air clears and marriage becomes a haven, even a fortress for life. And as with our life with God, will yield surprising rewards. God delights in the parallels of marriage and his desire for his people, which he calls his bride. We dare not tread heavily here with ignorance, but human relationship, so marvelously revealed ideally in marriage, reveals something far greater, something God considers of immense value, something that tells us a lot about our relationship with God himself. All the taboos, the rules, and guidelines of marriage and with God are to ensure that we do not miss something far greater. When marriage works, when experience that togetherness, oneness, when the words one flesh can really mean a oneness of mind, heart, and soul, we are very close to seeing the heart of God. We glimpse momentarily God's desire for us and with his church. It is mysterious, yet such is what we are to realize. This is what life in him is meant to be. O Lord, that we might realize the ideal you have set before us and appreciate your eternal grace and what it means for us all. What our lives in you is meant to be. O Lord, do answer our prayers for peace, joy, health, and well-being in all of our lives, that indeed your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. For it is all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it is clear that my husband has strong opinions concerning the sacredness and mystery that God has intended in a man and a woman becoming one. If current debates on the subject seem incomplete or misguided, please ask for the CD of this program or write and ask for Thomas's study on Submitting to One Another. There is no reason for confusion or uncertainty. Just ask for the CD on Marriage as God Meant It to Be, or the book, Submitting to One Another. Either can be yours at no charge. Dear ones, we want you to know how much we appreciate all of your prayers. Those of you who are not yet a part of our outreach, we pray you would seriously consider being included in our Wings of Healing family. Supporting this ministry makes you an integral part of God's work that brings help and the word to so many, here and abroad. Please join us, won't you? Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. We know how important the family is, and we have this from Mrs. Thompson of Florida. I so appreciate your prayers for my family. The difference is so noticeable. the marriage, the love, it is such a blessing. We do thank you for that wonderful report. And if you require anything, please do write. Dennis will provide our address at the close of the broadcast. But now, Robert York, at the piano, performs as only he can, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And until next week, do experience all that is the love of God.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. The address is Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week his book, Submitting to One Another. This study opens up this entire subject of loving each other and our mutual obligations, which extend far beyond marriage. This is a wonderful study and can be yours at no charge. Just write and ask for Submitting to One Another. This is Dennis Colonna, asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.